Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to our class of Da Es Atzmacha, English called Getting to Know Yourself. This is a book that we began last summer, and we're pretty good through the book a little bit. And we're talking basically about how a person can achieve happiness in life by understanding who the person really is himself. And the discussion has been throughout the book, a human being has a body and has a soul. And the question is, which part do I identify with? Do you identify with your body or do you identify with your soul? And the real essence of the person, as we've learned already, is the soul. And to the degree that one identifies with one's soul, to that degree one will be happy, because the soul is an infinite existence, and one which only good exists in it, while the body, the animalistic part, if one identifies that as his reality, it will not bring a lot of joy to the person. And we discussed that it has three levels of understanding one's reality. One is in terms of actions, one is in terms of emotions, and one is in terms of thoughts. And we brought down from the Baal Shem Tov the idea of Hachna, Havdola, and Hamtaka, being able to separate and push away the wrong ideas of who we are and take them, push them away from what we are, and to get a better understanding that this is not who we are, to understand what we are, and then later to be able to come back and connect with other people based on the true understanding of who we are. In other words, the real problem we have in relationships and the real problems we have in our own self-esteem is because we really don't know who we are. And we assume we are what we are encased in, our bodies, but that's not who we really are. And that is the real source of all poor self-esteem. And therefore, we've already gone through in the book how one is able, should analyze the actions that one does and understand which actions are truly him and which are not truly him. We discussed emotions and feelings, what are the true feelings that come from the soul and what are the ones that come from the body that is not really who you are. And now we began last week a discussion of our thoughts and how to deal with negative thoughts and how to remove those negative thoughts. And this is the last chapter on dealing with discriminating between what we aren't and what we are. When we finish that, then we go to the next section of that. Once you know who you are, how do you connect with people? So that's going to be coming up, and that's going to basically be the remainder of this part of the book for the next number of weeks. So for those that are here for the first time, you're going to be a little bit jumping into the middle of the water, so don't you can swim. That's good. And we have all the classes online, so if you want to catch up, or you can read the book until this point. But every week there's another interesting concept that we bring out, at least one interesting concept, and hopefully it's very helpful. So in the Hebrew book, we are going to begin at the top of page Kuf Mem Vav, and in the English book, we're on page 116. About two paragraphs from the bottom. Now, what we did already last week in the beginning of this chapter, which is entitled Nikui HaMachshavas HaShlilios, how to remove negative thoughts that a person has, which is really the hardest aspect. Actions and emotions are much easier to clean out, as it were, but thoughts, they're constant, and it's very hard to clean them out and to separate the thoughts you want to have and the ones you don't. And we discussed how thoughts is really the essence of the person. The essence of the person really, really is what you're thinking more than anything else. And we brought from Nachmanides a very important concept. And he says, where a person is thinking, that's where he is found. You are where your thoughts are. Where your true thoughts are. And that's a very important concept. You can be in one place and think of another place. So really, you're really in that other place. And that has all kinds of impact on a person. So, I don't remember if we mentioned the story with the Baal Shem Tov last time. I don't remember. We said a few stories. I don't remember if we said the story with the Baal Shem Tov. Again, this book, you should know, is coming from a Hasidic perspective, although it doesn't overtly say that, but it's from a Hasidic perspective. So I'm entitled to say Hasidic stories. So the Baal Shem Tov, he used to, and again, you have to take all this stuff to, you know, to, it's a little bit beyond what our traditional understanding of things are. But he would often cover the eyes of his Hasidim so that they were able to see things far away. He was able to do this. So it was one particular Shabbos where he was with the Hasidim and he covered their eyes. So they looked very far away and they saw a family that was at a Shabbos table. And at the head of the table, there was a cow singing Zmiros, singing the Shabbos songs. So then he put his hand away and they lost the vision. Then he put his hand back over their eyes and now they see a man singing Zmiros at the Shabbos table, that same Shabbos table far away. So they said, what's going on over there? So he said, listen, while he's singing the Zmiros, he's thinking of the cholent. Okay? So in other words, so at the time, he's really a cow. In other words, he's thinking like a cow. So that's what he really is. That's just a story that brings this idea. So quite often, you know, we the Baal Shem Tov probably would his students would probably see many cows, you know, at Jewish weddings surrounding Viennese tables or things like that. So in other words, you are what you think. You are in that place of what you think. And if you're only thinking about the meal while you're seeing the Zmiros, so you're not really in the Zmiros. You're really in the cholent, as it were. So that's how we ended off. So we're starting at the top of page Kuf Mem Vav, and again, two paragraphs on the bottom of page 116, where he's going to finish up this last concept and move on to continue on this. So he says, Hazihui, so I'm reading it in Hebrew, and you can look along in English. Hazihui sha'anu mazim kol pam es mokom himotz osonu. If a person identifies himself every time with a place he finds himself based on where the body is, if you identify yourself where the body is, because we really then identify ourselves as a body that happens to also have a soul inside of it. But the main identification we have with the body, so therefore, where do I find myself? Wherever my body is. If we're very body orientated, we're always where the body is. But a person comes to the true identity, they really realize he's a soul, that is enclosed with a body. So by definition, he'll identify himself where he's thinking. Because really, the soul is the source of where the thinking takes place. I know you think it's from the brain, but that's not really true. The brain's ability to think is from the third level of a person's soul, which is the neshama. And that gives them the ability to have very wonderful thoughts. So therefore, if a person understands he's really a soul, so he'll identify with his thoughts more than with his body. Now, you know, there's this idea in what do you call it? In working out in the gym. What's it called? Exercising, whatever. There's an idea called body awareness. You know, so when they tell you to do this, they say, what do you feel? So for the first year, I'd say, nothing. Like, do you feel the, I said, I don't feel nothing. I just feel pain. Where do you feel pain? All over. No. You've got to know, it's exactly when you're flexing a certain thing, you know, your tricep is, I don't know what a tricep is, you know. So, no, but can't you feel when you're going like this, right, then the tricep is moving. And this whole idea of body awareness. And if you have that body awareness, you know exactly how to exercise properly. So I'm still, you know, really terrible at that, even though I've been exercising for like 5-6 years. But, and to that extent, I'm probably not so good at it. So there's another awareness, it's called soul awareness. And that's what the rabbi is saying over here, that if you really were aware, if you could identify with your soul, then you realize that where you really are is where you're thinking. And you'd have greater identification with the thoughts, and you'd lend a lot more credence to those thoughts. And we'll see that there's ways of flexing the thought muscles, which is really what you really are. That's what he's saying over here. So it all depends who you think, what you think you are. Binosef lekach yizaha. In addition to that, he also identifies shigufo levusho. His body is a garment. Nimtza b'makom anochi. It happens to be, the garment happens to, where's your garment? My garment is in the room here, but my mind can be somewhere else. But the garment is heichon shu yoshev al kisei b'bo, where I actually sit in the chair, that's where my garment is. So the person is not totally out of touch with reality, I mean, sort of reality. He knows where his body is situated, but that's not where he is situated. He is situated where his thoughts are situated, because the real he is the soul. Now this is what this whole book is trying to teach us, how to have this soul awareness, and to not mix up body language, body actions with soulful actions. In Kenyis Bar Hetev, so therefore it's been very clearly explained based on what we said the last time and this time. Shehechan Shemachshavta Shalotav Nimsas, a place where the person's thoughts are found, Shamu Nimsa Ba'ofen HaMuchla, that's where he is really definitely located. Hayos Armiti in the truest way. Now, let me give a few more examples of this one. I want to get this idea very clear. For example, you'll find in the Torah, it used an expression of, let's say, Vayikach, and he took. And for example, it says, Vayikach Korach. And Korach took. Korach made a big argument, a revolution against Moshe. It says, and he took people. So how do you take a person? How do you take a person? He took 250 people. He picked them up and took them. So what does Rashi say? He took them bidvarim. He took them with words. And many times when it says, when Hashem says to Moshe, kach es Aaron, take Aaron. What does it mean, take Aaron? Kechu bidvarim, take him with words. Meaning, persuade a person. Whatever the Torah says, take somebody, means really to persuade him. So why did God use the word take? You know, so the point we're trying to say is that a person can be moved. That's what Torah is saying, a person can be moved. So for example, an inspirational speaker, right, even though you are in one place, but he can move you to be somewhere else. You can be thinking, you know, nothing important at all, and he can move you to be in a place of, wow, I can really be amazing. I can do this. I can do that. That's the idea of an inspirational speaker. He moves people, and means that the person's essence was moved. Okay? Even in the secular world, there's an expression, he took him for a ride. Yeah. Okay, what does that really mean? It means he twisted his mind and put him in a different place. You know, he took him for a ride. He made him think that he was an honest car salesman. Right? What? You just got a car. Okay, right? Right? You know, I'm teaching about 15 people in the room over here. You know, maybe only 5 are really in the room. You know, it could be a few of you are in another city. You know, Larry just came back from skiing. It could be if he had an unbelievable time. And since he said he read the book twice already, so he might think I don't have anything else to say. So it could be, I'm not chas v'shalom accusing you. But, you know, you just were in Montreal, so your mind could still be in Montreal. Because, what? Your legs are in Montreal, right? But, this is so real. It has all kinds of halachic applications. In Jewish law, there's laws in Judaism that are based on where you are. Let me give you one or two examples. There's a concept in Judaism, this is very applicable in cottage country, that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to walk more than 1 kilometer away from your residence. On Shabbos, because on Shabbos, you have to kind of be home. As it were. And that's important, not to get lost in the outer world, as it were. So you can't go more than a kilometer. But there is a concept called Erev Tuchumim, which means that if before Shabbos you put a couple meals of bread in a container and put it a kilometer away from you, then that will become your new residence. And now I can walk a kilometer there, and then I have a radius of another kilometer to go even further. Right? So I've created a new dwelling. Yeah, but wait a minute, but I live in my other house. I live in this house. But the truth of the matter is, you're revealing that, you know, for Shabbos, you really want to be in that place. So even though my body's in one place, my mind is in another place, and therefore, halachically, that place where I want to be is that place. So I have to do something physically because I can just, you know, make shtick and make tricks, you know. You could tell everybody, well, I really thought about before Shabbos and you didn't. So we have to do some action that we know that you're not fooling anyone. But the truth is, it now, because I want to be in that place, so that's where you are. And that is your new place. And therefore, it's not like we're cheating the law. It seems something like, you're cheating the law. The law is you can only go 1 kilometer, and I'm going 2 kilometers. No, because you're really saying that's the place you want to be, and that's where you want to be, so that's where you are. We find other examples. When a sofer is writing a Sefer Torah, a scribe is writing a Sefer Torah, he has to have in mind that he's writing it for the sanctity of a Sefer Torah, and when he writes the name of God, he has to have in mind, I'm writing it for the sanctification of God. And if he doesn't have that, the Sefer Torah is not kosher. He can have the most beautiful script, but if he doesn't say, I am having in mind that I want God's holy essence to penetrate into the parchment, then it's a piece of garbage. Not garbage, chas v'shalom, but it has no holiness. Not at all. You can write the whole Sefer Torah, put it in the scrolls and everything, and if it falls down, you don't have to fast. It's nothing more than a printed chumash. Why? Because it's the thoughts of what he wants to make that thing to be. That's what it is. When offerings were brought in the temple, and a Kohen would do the service 100% correctly. He took the animal and he slaughtered it and he sprinkled the blood. He did everything that was supposed to be done. But he thought when he was doing it that, you know, this animal, I'm thinking that when I'm finished with it, I'm going to do something that you're not allowed to do with it. Even though he doesn't even do it. The whole offering is no good. It's invalid. For example, certain animals have to be eaten within 1 day. And when he's slaughtering the animal, he says, I'm going to eat it 3 days from now. He's thinking. And when you look, he did a perfect job. But the fact that he was thinking, it's as if it was done. So you got to really be careful. So closer you get to areas of holiness, the more important your thoughts are. So, and this also has another implication. What if you're davening far away from the Holy Temple, like here, but you face Yerushalayim? Why? It's so your thoughts have to be on Yerushalayim. What if you're in a place where you're not facing east? You're in a car, and the car is going a certain direction. You have to daven at that time, and you're facing the wrong direction. The Gemara says you should have your intention that you are in Yerushalayim, and as far as God's concerned, you are in Yerushalayim. So your thoughts really dominate who you really are. That's the point he's making over here. So now, why is this so important? Now, we'll get to practical stuff very soon, but I'm trying to show you how the halacha is extremely important, and the Chovos HaLevavos talks a lot about that, you know, the real change within people. Of course, Judaism believes that, you know, action speaks louder than words. And, you know, a Jew in one's heart is not worth a lot if it's not backed up by actions. But the real spiritual movement that happens in a person, one way or the other, is in the mind. Where it's happening is in the mind. And if it's not in the mind, then, you know, you're really losing a lot of that. So, and that's, you know, that's been the whole issue of Shabbos, that we've been trying to encourage the people in the shul to appreciate what Shabbos is. As much as you can do all the actions of keeping the Shabbos and lighting the candles and making the kiddush, all that, but if your mind is not with God, then you're not in Shabbos. It isn't Shabbos. You're in a different day of the week. You're not in where Shabbos is supposed to take you. So those are all critical ideas. So let's continue reading, and we'll see where this plays out. So the next subcategory is called Haneshama Soledas Mimasim Shliliyim. The soul recoils from negative actions. Misponen b'mushal mimikre guf. So let's give an example for things that happen in the physical world. Adam shenichnas l'makom shareach hanodev bohu b'lashon hamatalonim. Let's say a person walks into a place that smells terrible. Okay, I'm sure we've all passed these places. If you want a good place, go outside, go down, make a right turn, go to the disposal area of this complex, and you hit the button and go in where all the garbage cans. In the winter, maybe it's not so bad, but go in July, in a hot July day, you will notice very quickly there's a very terrible smell over there. So what happens when you get that smell? You kind of go, right? Soled milios b'makom. You recoil. Ugh, I don't want to be there. And naturally, you want to leave. You want to leave such a place. If you go to the city dump, you want to get out as fast as possible. You know, these places out in cottage country where you have to drive your garbage to the dump, right? You don't like hang around there and have a kumsitz over there. You just run, throw it, and get out of there as fast as possible. It stinks. You don't need a commandment of God in the Torah to leave a garbage dump. It's a natural reaction. The terror, negative smell pushes you out. Okay. So now, what does that have to do with anything? So what about when a person is thinking of bad things? Not even thinking of doing bad things, just thinking of something bad. We're not talking about something you plan on doing bad. Not even bad things you may have done in the past. But you think of a bad thing that happened in the world. Right? And unfortunately, the newspapers, from beginning to end, are filled with that. So all you want to think of, you want to think of Tiger Woods, okay? You want to think of the 7 CIA agents who got killed by the counter espionage agent, whatever. You think of a, God forbid, a plane that went down with hundreds of people in that, or someone did something terrible. So la avel yesh reich shlili, for something that's bad, a bad activity, a bad happening, it also stinks. It also has a smell. All right. Ukeshem shadam animtzo begufo b'makom val reich shlili. So just like when a person finds his body in a place that smells physically, ha reich docha som avila seshom, the smell pushes him away in the city dump. When a person thinks of quote unquote smelly things, although they don't smell, but they're very negative things, etzam amachshavar b'davar shlili, he matzos shall etzam hani b'davar shlili. When you think about those negative things, it's putting the essential you in that negative environment. This is it's like all these virtual realities that we talk about. So when you talk about, not talk, when you think about things on the news, it's you're putting your neshama in a garbage dump. Now you're going to say, I don't have any problem with that. It doesn't affect me because your nose is damaged. The spiritual nose is damaged. That's the problem. And that becomes the damage that we do to ourselves because we say, what are you talking about? I'm over here. And the terrible thing was over there. But if you're thinking about it, you saw it on the news, and you think about it, let alone talk about it, what's happening? You are where your mind is. So where is your mind? Your mind is right there. If your mind is right there, that's where you are. And you are in that place that's like really not a healthy place to be in. Because it's all this negative stuff that's there. Right? And even though I didn't do it, and I'm not going to do it, And I feel according to the way I am as a person, I'll never do such a thing. I only think about the bad thing that somebody else did. When you think even about something that was bad in this world, that itself is like filth. It's like a smelly thing. So it's like you're going to the city dump when you're doing that. No one has to be explained why you have to leave the city dump. No one has to say, I command you to leave the city dump. You want to leave the city dump. So you should also, your soul should recoil, and to leave it. So why isn't it? Because you don't know who you are. You know, the soul doesn't enjoy these negative things. What is all the globe is and all that garbage that's out there? What is it being directed to? Your body, right? But unfortunately, your body's schlepping your neshama along there too. And where you're thinking, what you're thinking about is penetrating to the neshama, and it is really stinking it up without you realizing it. You may not be smelling it. But the soul understands and is agonizing that it's being surrounded by that. So, kasher ha'adam nimtza b'hargosha b'tfisa shemachshavi yesamim. But if a person really would understand that the thinking is the real me, v'heichan shuchoshev shamu nimtza, and where he is thinking about what he's saying, that's where he is. Harei shekasher uchoshev b'davara kedugmas avol shnasavon. So if you're thinking about something bad in the world, we're on the next page, Kuf Mem Zayin. So naturally, who wrote Salahav Siglach Shaval Dover Masukazah? He naturally doesn't want to think about such a thing. Because he feels the negative smell from that. So he doesn't have to look into the code of Jewish law to determine if he has to leave such a place or not. Or if he shouldn't be looking at a thing. The soul would be jumping out and says, get out of here! It doesn't belong here. It smells. It's terrible. Because where you think, that's where you are. B'sefer Kava Yashar, he brings a very old source called the Kava Yashar Muva. Isa B'sefer Giva Samaritan. He quotes a sefer like this. Very interesting in that story. Story with a pious person who was going on the road, and Elijah the prophet came to him. We know that there's stories that Elijah, his essence comes down into this world in the form of people. So the story goes, Elijah met up with this person. And as they're walking, they come upon a carcass, a dead animal that was smelling. It smells so bad, the chaz had to hold his nose. Elio's walking by the carcass, he doesn't smell nothing. So they're going a little further. Then they met another person. The guy was walking with an arrogant gait. G-A-I-T. Okay, you know those kind of people where their noses are stuck to the ceiling. Right? You could tell they'll walk a mile away, right? So this arrogant guy is walking by. And he was glorifying himself. And at a distance, so Elijah put his finger to his nose. Wow. He said, I don't understand. Why didn't you put your hand on your nose when we passed the carcass? And now you're putting your finger by your nose. Said, that arrogant person stinks more than the carcass. Because arrogance is evil. Arrogance is evil. And if the tzaddik even sees someone and thinks about there's an evil person, stinks. Because listen, if in Jewish law, in the times when we had a temple, there were laws of impurity. If you touch a carcass, it renders you impure only until nightfall. Go to the mikvah, and by nightfall, everything's fine. Avol nageya b'zeh, but if you touch an arrogant person, it's much worse. Because the arrogance is much worse than a ritual impurity. Right? It's interesting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Messianic king will be able to smell the truth and be able to judge people. He'll be able just to smell it out and he'll know. He'll know how to judge cases. He'll have a divine assistance just by the nose. So, precisely how a body cannot tolerate smelling something that's negatively smelling. So similarly, the soul can't smell something that spiritually smells. But that negative smell for the soul is not a carcass. Anything bad that's in the world. Maisim roim, bad deeds. Midos roes, bad characteristics. Machshavos roes, bad thoughts. Kol eilu haneshama selesim. All these things, the soul recoils from it. Kamo reach ra, just like a terrible smell. Okay. So, he's going to give some very powerful examples shortly. So, this is something that many of us are just not in touch with at all. And if we would check our sense of smell of our souls, we'd say, everything smells fine to me. But really, the tzaddik just can't take it. Can't take it. Because they're so sensitive to what's going on, and they understand that this is something that's terrible. So let's continue. So in the English, we're on page 118. So now how are we going to clean these thoughts out? Now, the most difficult thing is, if we think, because once you start thinking about bad things, you're going to start thinking how terrible you are, how inadequate you are. These are all not healthy thoughts. So where does that breed? Where does that kind of thinking breed itself in? So he continues. He says, "Lefisa navin heitav es omek echasarn shel adam kasher uchoshet b'dvarim shlim." Now, if we really understand this well and in depth, we could see what the fault is in a person who thinks of negative things. B'shosh adam choshet b'dvar shlili. When a person thinks of something that's negative, hu lokech es etzamani. You take the essential you. Umachni sosol lamakam. So you're putting it in a negative place. Nobody would ever think to enter into a barn and smell the negative smell that comes there and decide to set up shop and live in the barn for the rest of your life. We like to live in a clean world. A world where the air is fresh and clean. When a person really understands what the essence of thought is, right? So you're going to not want to think of negative things. If you really understand what your thoughts really are. So the thing is, like, we don't think that our thoughts are real. That's the problem. But the irony is that our thoughts are more real than anything else. Now think about it. What are people more worried about in life? Clean clothes or a clean mind?
Clothes.
Clean clothes. Right? You go get a stain on your clothes. Oh, I got to change. I got to this. I got to that. A stain on your mind.
Because you see it.
Big deal. We don't think about it. That's the problem. We don't realize that that's much more real. The clothes is just a garment to your garment. While the mind is you. And the stain on the mind is very destructive to the mind. You know, that's why, you know, there's a lot to be said for the fact that Jews who care about their souls are going to stay away from seeing a lot of things in this world. Because when you see these things, you're going to think about those things, and they really wreak havoc with your neshama. Neshama can't take it. And when your neshama gets battered like that, then everything else follows suit. And people say, it doesn't affect me at all. Anyone who says it doesn't affect at all just doesn't know how to smell. And that's where all the negative things come into being. Kamuvan, so it's understood. Yeshama nashim shimargishim zosios. So there are those who feel this more, who are more in touch with their souls. Yeshim umargishim pachos, some who feel it less. Yeshna adam shloma frielo likro iton. Shema adar rishon adam adar achon lo yimot kimat amud achashlok mesupar leze avol shikar. There's some people, it doesn't bother them to read a newspaper. They're from the first page and to the last page. Not one page goes by without something that's terrible there. Because that's what news is, right? Right? So can you imagine what reading a newspaper does to your soul? You know, I like to cuddle up in front of the New York Times with a good coffee, right? Sunday morning. So it's just putting your nose in a barn. From beginning to end.
You do know all the news.
What?
You do know all the news.
I don't know any of it. I don't do it. No.
Who's telling you?
No, she's saying you always know all the news.
It's in the air. It's in the air.
I still don't know about Tiger Woods and Novak Djokovic. Don't tell me. You just have to listen to Kiddush.
People, just eavesdrop on what people are saying, Kiddush. Geneva, Retzach. You read about robberies and murders. Heiton mole mikol el. The newspaper is full of it. Kol yom hukare al od avalos umasim shem. Every day you read things of terrible things that happen. Ach misal mikach umafdas. But you just write it off. You say, ani lo kaze. I'm not like that. Masal mafili. Why should that bother me? You begin to see what damage a person does when they read the newspaper every day, right? Next page, Kuf Mem Ches. Aviation of an Adam, but there's other people. She'edim esuga liftach iton. They just can't open up a newspaper. They can't bring themselves to do it. Madua? Why? Ki beruba osega iton b'mikrim roim shikrim roim. Because basically they talk about bad things that happen in the world. Od chakira mishtartit, another public investigation about a political official. He lives in Israel, so you can understand what's going on over there, right? Right? That's where the author lives. Od eza avol shenasav ez rishus, another terrible thing that happened under a certain domain. He can't take that these things are going on in the world. He just can't take it. You know, there's a notion out there that people say you have to know what's going on in the world. You know, but that's not true. That's not true because a person doesn't need to know the filth that is in this world. You don't need. There's no benefit from it. Okay, if you're a businessman and you need to know the stocks because that's your business. Okay, that's one thing, right? You need to know what the weather is. Okay. You know, but beyond that, you know, like, you know, or maybe health issues, maybe, you know, this is a healthy thing to do. Research says take this vitamin. Okay. You know, but beyond that, like, what is there that's good to know about?
Nothing.
You know, and it just fills into your mind, right? You know, let's give an analogy. Let's say a person was very hungry and they overate at a barbecue, you know. And they really feel sick, you know. Just at that moment, does he want to think about a hot dog?
No.
Does he want to think about a hot dog? What changed? 2 hours ago, you were thinking about hot dogs all day long, right? But you now feel that the hot dog damaged you, so you don't want to think about it. So it's the same thing. People who are sensitive, like they want to read newspaper, not because it's a religious thing, and the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't read the newspaper. It says, what do I want to read it for? It stinks. Why would I want to read it? And again, this is where the rabbis are saying it very straightforwardly. You don't have to be an intelligent, you don't have to be a spiritual person, necessarily, to know that you shouldn't read the newspaper. Because all it is damaging your neshama. There's nothing positive. Okay, first question, then second question. Yeah.
So,
I'll say the question again. If the Jewish role is to repair the world, how do you repair the world if you don't know what's damaged?
And how do you vote for something that's right? How do you exercise? How do you do goodness? How do you give tzedakah if you don't know what's wrong?
So that's a good question. So we didn't say that you can't focus on what's good in the world. And that's what he's going to talk about in the next page. You know, so it doesn't mean to say you can't know what's going on in the world, but you have to be very discriminating as to what you look at. And there are things you can look at that talk about good things in the world. And you have to develop a sensitivity to focus yourself in areas that only talk about good things. And when you talk about good things, and we'll talk about this more, how you have to be able to discriminate when you're seeing something, what to focus on and what not to focus on, which is a big skill one has to develop. But there's a lot of good things you can focus on. You know, you can read stories about righteous people, Jewish or non-Jewish. Not even, it doesn't have to be exclusively Jewish. There's non-Jews who do nice things in the world. And you read about that, that smells good. And look what this person did. He went, and although his business was in trouble, he went and took his own family money to keep the business going so 100 people in the business would be able to work and through the economy, even though he lost a lot of money. That smells good. That smells good. That's something I want to do. Right? A. B, the first thing you got to fix up, many people make a big mistake. They think they're going to fix up the world before they fix themselves up. And that's the biggest mistake. People mean very well, but if you don't fix yourself up, you're not going to really be able to fix up the world. So first one, I spend a lot of time fixing oneself up to be able to know how to look at the world. Then go fix up the world. So there are great tzaddikim who did a lot of tikkun olam, fixed the world a lot up, but they made sure to know where to keep their noses out, as it were. Right? And there's a lot of good that you can do without having to see all the bad that's in the world.
The highest level
like
of
stuck.
What?
A situation like Tiger.
So I don't need. It's. I feel terrible that I even don't, know about it.
I don't.
God sends that.
She doesn't even know who he is.
It doesn't matter.
No,
you don't have to know. God sends that situation to the world so that we can learn by it.
Why?
You know what? It's better. It's better not to know about it. It stinks your soul's sinuses.
So it's better not to know.
You don't need to know. First of all, you don't need to know about it because the Torah tells us about it. The Torah tells about it. You can tell Miriam can tell you all about anti-Semitism from my class yesterday. the Torah teaches us. You know, you can read everything in the Torah. That smells fine. And the Torah will tell you all about anti-Semitism and where it comes from and all these things. But you don't. You don't have to see it. You know, it's not necessary. How is it helpful? How is it helpful? You read in France they're beating up Jews, and in Chweis and in Russia they're beating up Jews.
Deal with it, don't.
But you know what? There's nothing you're going to be able to do about it.
Yes, you can.
There's nothing. You work from within. It's not. None of these things really change anything. It doesn't cause the change. The change has to begin from within. We're not saying you don't care about it. If another Jew's in trouble, you have to help them. But most of that which we read, let's be honest, when you read about the anti-Semitism in France, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not. This is terrible. And that's it. So you're just smelling terrible. So what does it help? You know, you're going to get on a plane and do something about it? Or you're going to go and tell all the Muslims in Germany not to beat up Jews? They're going to listen to you? Like what are you going to accomplish? So there's nothing healthy coming out of that. And we know we live in a world, from the day the Jewish people have been around, there's always been anti-Semitism. So what else is new? There's nothing new about it. So there are solutions to it that we have to work within ourselves. But the idea, you know, so who are the people that are meant to deal with these things? Are we meant nobody should deal with it? When a person has really trained his soul, then he can go out in that world and he doesn't see those things. He sees the things that he's supposed to be seeing, and not the other things. And that you have to have a trained soul already to do those kinds of things. And if you're not trained, then you kind of gravitate to the things you shouldn't be looking at. It's a tricky issue. So you're going to say, how are we going to, you know, if a person's in trouble, Torah says you have to help him, right? Where you can help him. So let's say you know there's a person who's poor. So okay, so now there's a tremendously uplifting thing you can do now. Give him tzedakah. Now that smells good. It smells good. So you didn't have to hide from that. Right? So there's a lot of healthy things you can do. But you know, most of the stuff that's in the newspapers, you're not gaining from it. You're not. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Nothing. So it's just sitting in the filth and just sniffing it out, and that damages the neshama. Nothing positive is coming out of it. Okay, yeah, you had a question, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when you open up a newspaper, how do you know which article will damage you and which article you learn something from?
Right, so the truth is, since there's a rule, there's a Talmudic rule, you go after the majority. And the majority of all newspapers, it's just bad news. Now, be honest, well, you know, we should take a newspaper one day. I should have really brought one to class, right? And so let's start with the news. You start. It was like, what does most headlines say? Imagine, what were the headlines today? Anybody know? Nobody reads the newspaper.
We're very, very controlling of our soul.
Marshall, what, no, you don't know?
Nobody's good at it.
Okay. See?
But generally,
and it's not even true necessarily.
Right. Well, that's besides the fact that we lush and hara and other things like that. Right? But there's nothing there that's healthy for the neshama. And really one should just not read it. Now, if you want to read healthier news, I mean, there's very little, you know, to be perfectly honest, if you wouldn't look at a newspaper for 6 months,
nothing, you
wouldn't miss anything.
Yeah. Everything is the same.
Let's assume for the last 6 months you didn't read the newspaper. What would you have missed? What would you have missed?
Tiger Woods.
I'm just saying, you would have missed that. What else would you have missed? Wait, you would have missed all the politicians that have been caught cheating. Right? You would have missed all the murders that went on. You would have missed all these horrific things, forest fires in California. I mean, it's all the same anyway, right? A volcano eruption somewhere in Hawaii, or is it like, you know, people getting killed. So what did you miss? But all those things are damaging the neshama.
It's really interesting that when there's something that you would want to know, because I gave up television and newspaper quite a few years ago, when there's something you really would want to know, you can't believe how fast that communication. I'll give you an example. Mumbai. I found out about Mumbai. Somebody called me and said, David, you know, pray for these people. This is what's happening. But before we even knew that they were dead, this is what's happening. These Lubavitcher family, this is their names. This is the call, you know, David for them. I knew. That's the only important thing I can think of that happened in the last year.
But there's nothing you can do about that.
No,
talking about praying is something
praying?
You can do.
Okay,
right,
but
no,
but
if they're...
If a specific Jewish person whose life was in danger right then and there, all the
then we pray for them.
We knew about this, though, and you don't know about that, and even the newspapers don't know about that. This was a very... This was the kind of situation, let's put it this way, that my mother would have said to me, see, you need to read a newspaper because you need to know these things.
But you don't, because you get 20 calls from people who are going to tell you about it.
The important thing.
You're going to find out about it anyway.
Nobody's going to call you and say a politician did this and this.
You know, and every day, Canadian soldiers die in Afghanistan, the CIA agents who are defending the world against terrorism die. Okay, but they're not Jewish, so let's just wait a while. I mean, you know, we can do that. But, you know, I mean, Chas v'shalom, Chabad Rabbi dies, and everybody, you know, prays for him.
That's our family.
There's a lot of heroes in this world that
that's
die. We can pray for every single day.
Jews are our family.
So we do. We do in three times a day in the prayers. We do pray for them.
Maybe it helps to know what the circumstances are. Also, maybe it makes us more sensitive.
So if it's something you need to know, you'll find out.
But we don't know unless we choose to find.
But you don't have to find out all those things. I'm saying, you know, what's in your sphere and in your world,
you
that's what you need to know.
You're gonna eat in life. You have to decide what information you're going to absorb. And we live in a world that's physical, it's real. Like, you can't just, well, I'll eat everything in front of me. No, you decide, I'm going to eat this.
So I'm saying, if you decide not to watch television and look in the newspapers, you're making a decision which is 99% beneficial for you. Right? And you're avoiding all the negative things. So there might be one or two things that maybe it would have been okay to see it. Well, you know, it's not worth the loss. The overall loss is worse than any benefit you would get from it. So you kind of stay away from those things. And if it really was important, as you had said, you'll find out. There's this thing that they talk about, you know, curiosity. You know, that's what got first man to sin. Was that curiosity. So we have that curiosity, but that curiosity usually is not helpful. That's what he's saying. At the end of the day, so what did you gain by knowing about all this?
So, you know, we could talk about this for hours, but yeah. You know, why does God send Joseph and Jacob to Egypt, like to the heart of, you know,
because that was a specific purpose.
Okay.
You know, when God puts you in it, then you have to do it. When God puts you there, you have to deal with it. But why put yourself there if you don't need to be there? Good example. Even though Jacob had to go down to Egypt, where did he choose to live?
Goshen.
Okay.
In Goshen, which was a Jewish ghetto.
Okay.
says, I don't want to be with all the Egyptians over there. I have to be in Egypt. Okay, I have to be in Egypt. I want to be with this only Jews. Finished. I don't want to know about all the garbage that's going on in Egypt. And that's how he was able to survive. And when did the Jews stop surviving? This week's Parsha. When the Jews all said, you know, let's see what's going on in Alexandria. Let's see what's going on in Cairo. And then all of a sudden, the Jew said, hey, you know. And all of a sudden, the neshama starts getting smelly. And then the Jews start to assimilate. And then all the problems begin. Well, Yaakov, with his blinders on, everything was fine. Right? So that's the point. That's the point. So God puts you in areas to realize, to recoil from it and realize this is not for me. This is not for me. That's a test. That's a test that God gives. Okay, let's continue. Second paragraph. Zelo kisha'adam medumyan. This is not a person who's delusional. V'chayshev shekol ha'olam. This is his point. Shekol ha'olam tohar v'zach kerega. Person, you know, tzaddikim, they're not delusional and think the whole world is pure. Tzaddikim don't think, oh, everybody's just wonderful. V'kulam nogin v'tzek v'yosh, everyone's acting nicely. V'yedesh yisav, well, he knows there's bad things in the world. Who maker is called haknonios? He knows about all the conspiracies going on. Who maker is called? He knows everything. Avalu omer, but this is what he says, Aryeh. L'shema ani tzorech likrozos. Why do I need to read it? Kol yom, every day. Ulahachni says, amachshava shali lo'elam ha'peshval. Why should I bring my mind, which is the me, into the world of iniquity and sin? Birtzoni lochios ba'olam naki. I want to live in a clean world. Ba'olam zach, in a pure world. You know, if a person would take a week off of the media and the news, you'd feel such a growth. And it would be better than, let's say, you know, why do we drive into, go to the country? What do you like about the country more than anything else? It's fresh air, right? So it's much fresher air if you wouldn't watch the news for a week.
40 days.
The air would be so much fresher for your neshama. Right? We're all running to find some fresh air for the body, but the neshama needs fresh air. And if you run away from the media, you have fresh air. Right? Kemuvan, it's understood. We're talking about a level beyond what we've been working on for the last couple months. Because as long as a person doesn't identify himself as a soul, then it's easier to think about bad things. Because he doesn't feel that the thinking of these things is putting the essential you in this bad territory. Right? So that's why it's hard if you're not into this program, as it were. So these ideas can seem strange to people. You're crazy. It just doesn't make any sense. But if you're a little bit in tune to what we've been talking about, you can understand. You don't want to put yourself in that place. So you might say, so this is what we call, this is the rationale for sheltered living. This is the idea. Shelter yourself. You wouldn't want your kid to go to the garbage dump every day, would you?
No.
He has to know what's going on in the garbage dump. I think it's important that you should know what kind of garbage people throw out. I have to smell it all. No, you don't, really. I know there's a garbage dump, and I don't have to go there. I don't have to see it. I don't have to think about it. So there's other garbage dumps of the soul that we want to stay away from. Masha Engin Gashar Adam Tsoid, but there she's better. But on the other one, a person's already taken the path and is on the way a little bit. Lot, lot, and slowly, slowly, who mefatechu megala miu etzam anishili. And he slowly reveals who the essence of the person is. Hapituch hazeh yotzer etzlo tfisa machshavis nishmasis. That development begins to fashion a grasping of one's soulful thoughts. Umehatfisa azu, and when you start thinking that way, who maskel lefatech tfisa sheichan shucho shev, begins to understand where I'm thinking, that's where I am, and that's where I'm attached. When a person feels that way, you don't need to follow what it says in the Torah, you know, stay away from bad things. You don't need to follow it because the Torah said so. But that's essentially what he would want. He wouldn't have to worry about stopping himself from thinking about these bad things. Once you would think a little bit about something negative, you'd recoil to that like you'd be recoiling from a carcass in the street. So, Omek Sharsh and Ikarim Achshavi Shikarim Ba'adam. This is the depths that we talk about clean thinking in a person. This idea to be really to control one's thoughts, and one is capable of training oneself about these things. Now, this, you know, he's talking about bad things, but let's talk about like other thoughts, thoughts of revenge, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of jealousy that many of us suffer from. Don't they stink as well? And then a person will say, you know, I don't want. And if you're in touch with your neshama, you'll hate the smell. So now what has to happen, people who are not in touch that way, what do they say? I'm so angry at that person. How could that person have done it? I'm so jealous of that person. Which I are we talking about? The body is jealous, right? So, and you can't, and now you have, and the Torah says, I can't be jealous. The Torah says, I can't take a wrench. It's a struggle, it's a fight, it's this. I can't. What did I have? I was speaking to somebody a week ago. A person was telling me a whole story of, problems with mishpacha. You know, the place, there's the person has a spouse who has a brother, and there's an elderly mother who's going senile, and there's a will, and it seems like the other brother is starting to manipulate the will, and you know, so he's telling me about this. You know, so Rabbi, what should I do if? And we've asked. They said they redid the will, and we've asked for a copy of the will, and they haven't given us a copy of the will. And I've asked them three times already. So I hope they're not doing anything wrong. But what if they did? How should I react to him? So I could see like the guy's blood is boiling as he's telling the whole story. Right? So, well, first of all, so what do you get so angry about? But what's getting angry? It's the body is getting angry, right? So now I got to start explaining to him. Well, the Torah says, you're not supposed to take revenge. The Torah says you shouldn't get angry over those things. The Torah says there's a God who controls the finances and he puts it into the mind. You know, but all that isn't going to work. It's like I can't do much for that person because that person is so into the body understand. So I said, and that person himself is really doing fairly well. He's got a good business, and he lives in a very nice house, and is doing quite well. Okay, for all of us around the table, gezukt, right? He's really doing well. So I'm like, what's bugging this guy? I mean, I understand if you're barely eking it out, and your mom, she need the money, and you're okay. So I said, so what's problem? You know, you're not an old guy, and you're doing well, and you've got a beautiful house, and you've got investments, and all these things, and you're able to give tzedakah. So what's bothering you? Well, it was bothering me. I said, who gave you this to begin with? Wasn't it God who gave this to you also? I just can't take it. You know, if they're going to cut us out, and this is like brothers and sisters, we're going to have nothing to do with them. We have nothing to do with them. I said, why? Well, if that's the way they are, there's no reason to have anything to do with them. So now I'm trying to tell him, like, well, God says you shouldn't do that. You know? So it's a tough go because I'm trying to push onto him Torah wisdom that is against what his body is screaming about. Now, if the person would be in touch with his neshama, once he starts feeling upset, he'd say, how could I feel this? It stinks. It's like, you know, as if a person is making himself smell. You know, when a person exercises a lot and you get fashfish, you smell your sweat, I gotta take a shower, right? So if the person's already getting angry, I gotta get out of this feeling. You don't need a rabbi to tell you not to do this. You should be stinking yourself. I'm thinking of taking revenge. It's terrible. Get it out of my mind right away. I don't want to be in that state. You understand? then all these issues. That's what I was trying to explain. I said, well, I don't understand, but we just finished reading the story with Joseph and the brothers. And after all, what the brothers did to Joseph, at the end of the day, he still loved them. Now think about that. Why did he love them? They were terrible to him, weren't they? They sold him down the river. They always suspected him. Even after he supported them for so many years in Egypt, they still suspected him that he's going to get them back at the end. And then when they said, oh, please don't kill us, and please don't this, and please don't that, Joseph says, oh, he's crying, says, why would you have thought that I would do such a thing? So why doesn't he start thinking of revenge? Because revenge stinks. The thought of saying, I'm going to get him back. That the soul is revolted by that. So even though the person hurt you, he hurt you, but why would you want to get him back? That stinks. You know, if somebody hurts your feelings, are you going to put your head in a sewer? You got me so upset, I'm putting my head in a sewer. I'm going to stick my nose in manure. Because I can't control myself. What do you mean? Nobody wants to stick their nose in manure. So the neshama is putting me in a manure pit. To take revenge? That's the most disgusting in the world. So when you're in touch with the neshama, see, that Yosef was a tzaddik, you see. The tzaddik is in touch with the neshama. So when the tzaddik's in touch with the neshama, the tzaddik understands that this stinks. So you don't have to convince him to not take revenge. You don't have to convince him to be jealous. So coming back to my story with the fellow who was upset, what does he really need? He needs to learn this book. That's the only, there's no solution for that fellow. The fellow is he still teaching in the room next door? Rabbi Yaakov?
Yes.
Maybe you could ask him to go into the office.
Okay, sure.
And you guys should start in there.
Okay.
Ask him to go into the office. Right? So the solution for that guy, and this is what's so important, because we all have this. Aren't there people who really tick you off? Aren't there people who hurt you? Aren't there people who disappoint you? And then what are those feelings that are coming out? Not good feelings. If you would read about it, and really if you'd analyze yourself and say, if you see somebody else act that way, say, how can the person be so petty, right? But when it's you, so now you got to be convinced that it's being petty, so you're not to do that, but your body is screaming the different. So you gotta, but if you had a soulful awareness, as soon as you start displaying, even thinking, to take revenge, because phooey, it smells. So it's not that Yosef was such a great guy to overcome the desire to get them back. He would never dream of doing it because it stinks. Do you see the difference? So then it's not a question about, and God doesn't want us always to fight our emotions. Because you know what? You can get very tired. If after every time someone doesn't, you're so sensitive to all these things, you're just sticking your nose into the manure. But you don't realize it. If you don't realize it, then you have to fight yourself. I want to get him back. Oh, but the door says I can't. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I hate him so much. I want to get him back so much. But the door says I can't do that. But it's so hard to be a Jew. but if you're sensitive and the soul knows, ugh, this is terrible. The soul smells that it stinks, but you don't know how to smell. But if you know how to smell, I said, why would I want to take revenge? Go, Nebuch, the guy, I feel so sorry for that guy. What he's doing is so terrible. I feel so terrible that he's doing such a thing. I didn't want to know that he's trying to cheat me out of the will. It stinks for me to hear about it. And you know what? There is a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world, and he'll take care of me. It would cost so much more peace, and you wouldn't have to fight. So that's why that's the value of being able to understand where the thoughts are coming from, and you are where you're thinking. You are where you're thinking. If you're thinking of revenge, then you're in the manure pot. And that's where you are. And nobody really would want to be there. Okay, we'll stop at this point. And next week we'll finish up this topic. And then we'll move on to the next section of how we can get back to people. This all is meant to get us back to people. Trying to discover who we are When I really know how I am, now I'll find a way to connect back to people. That's the next thing. Okay, I gotta rush to the next one. So, what? Okay.